Shouldn't have got dressed out of the same wardrobe.
It's like okay.
All right, we should do this properly. So this is a weekly update from Oslo, and I'm going to do this just a little bit differently because I'm conscious that there's a lot of people that are going to watch this related to the massive data breach stuff I loaded last week. Normally I do this on my own. I'm here with Scott Helm this time. We're in Oslo doing security workshops and talks, and I've just finished, well, at least finished for half the day in this classroom. And you came in at a good time, so thank you for coming in and answering questions for me. I actually do want to talk about what you're doing in your workshop, and we'll just do that intro quickly and then get into the other stuff.
So yeah, I'm doing my the best TLS training in the world workshop, which is a two-day intensive course.
And that's literally the title.
Literally the title.
Did you come up with that? I mean, it's...
Well, it kind of started as a tongue-in-cheek thing, and then it stuck, and why not? No one's challenged me yet, so it must be.
No one's proved you otherwise.
All right, fair enough. So yeah, it's a two-day course. It's pretty intensive. Day one, we assign everyone a virtual server. They get a certificate from Let's Encrypt, deploy it, configure it, so it's like full setup. Day two, we build our own private CA. So if you want to do things like local dev and test, we have like a proper real CA. You can issue certs for like your whole team, your whole organization, and we learn all the inner workings of CAs.
Okay, cool. And I've been doing Hack Yourself First, which is, I don't know, the 60th, 70th time or something I've done this workshop, which has been good. And in fact, I've got to do it again in London on Monday and Tuesday next week. But, you know, look, it's good. And it's, I think I've had a couple of months since I've done it, so it almost feels like I've had a break. But, yeah, so we are in Oslo. We'll be off to London on Saturday. We've got NDC London all of next week. And then, of course, you'll be in Australia and everything later on this year.
Yep.
No, not even later on this year.
No, it's like April
or something. Yeah. It's a couple of months away. So, look, I want to jump in. I'm going to do things a bit back to front because there's a big sort of industry furore that happened during the week that you're going to comment on because you sort of know that side of things very well. I want to talk about this sort of Collection 1 data breach first because I was in Australia at home last week. I loaded this data on Thursday morning. I went and got on the plane on Thursday afternoon to come here. And then I spent like the entire plane trip just getting blasted by emails and saturating Emirates Wi-Fi connection. But I got hundreds and hundreds of emails and thousands of comments and things on this incident. And I kind of made a few notes here because there was a lot of feedback. And I mean, you saw some of the feedback as well.
And feedback.
The internet being what the internet is, the feedback wasn't always what you call the most constructive. But, you know, maybe starting with the facts, this is a collection of different data breaches. And just to be clear too, like everything that was written in the blog post was 100% accurate and still true and all this sort of thing. And what seems to have happened is some of that's been extrapolated into other things that weren't actually written. So it's a collection of different individual data breaches. There was a list of about 2,800 different alleged sites, as well as a whole bunch of other files from other places. And it distilled down to 773 million odd records. And I wrote about the reasons why I loaded that into Have I Been Pwned, largely because there are about 140 million email addresses in that data set which had never been seen in Have I Been Pwned before. So that's a whole bunch of people that I can sort of now reach and hopefully convince to change their password management behaviors. And, you know, I was sort of pretty clear about precisely what it was. And somewhere along the line, obviously, it just got a huge amount of traction and hit sort of consumer land in a massive sense. And to put some shape around it, I think it's about 13 million people that came to Have I Been Pwned, mostly over the space of a couple of days, and, of course, searched for their email address and found themselves in the breach. Where things seem to have gone off the rails a bit is a lot of press picking it up and sort of implying that there had been a new breach and it was 773 million records, was the biggest thing we've seen ever.
Okay.
And I mean, you saw some of that as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people like to pick that up and they go, oh, Troy's misrepresented this as a new... No, like I wrote 3,000 plus words. And I think you know I do this as well. I'm sure you do too. But like I'm conscious that there are blog posts that are going to stir up a bit of controversy. And I labor over the wording and making sure that everything is 100% accurate and articulate. And if anyone ever has any doubts, I can go back and pick it up from there. And, you know, that's what it is. It's very, very crystal clear in there. So unfortunately, it did get blown a bit out of proportion, particularly by mainstream media. But, you know, this is also what they do. In a way, I kind of don't care if it got misrepresented a bit, if the end result was People came to the site, excuse me, found their email address, and then went, oh, there's this thing called data breaches, and I should actually change my behavior because of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we both spend, as we can see here, like a huge amount of our time trying to be educators and trainers and hopefully trying to change behaviors for the better. Without a shadow of a doubt, there's a huge number of people who have now gone, oh, yeah, look, our data does spread around. A heap of them are hopefully using better passwords, hopefully getting password managers and changing their behaviors. So, yeah, I'm almost of the mind that the ends or the means justifies the ends if it, the press did misrepresent it a little bit because it has led to positive changes and positive behaviors.
Yeah.
You know, a few different things I made notes on here. If you got kids in the car, turn it down for a minute. It took me about 7 hours before I got my first go fuck yourself, which is not a record. I'm sure I've done it in less time in the past. I'm sure I will again. But there was a bunch of angry, abusive comments on my blog where I had to actually go and ban a few people. It's pretty rare to ban people. But just really aggressive. And I'm not even entirely, you're like, you saw some of them. Why were they upset?
I tend not to read the comments now. Like, honestly,
angry internet people. In fairness, I do read the comments on my blog. I do read everyone there. I don't read YouTube or Hacker News or things like that. Read YouTube or Hacker News or things like that, and you'll understand why. But there are people who are a little bit cranky that I think I wasn't giving out passwords, and I've written really, really clearly about all the reasons that I don't give out passwords before. It just creates enormous risk for you guys, for me, and it's unnecessary in the broader scheme of things, because once you know that there's been these data breaches, if you're using genuinely unique, strong passwords anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be a problem. So that frustrated me a little bit. A lot of people also losing their minds, as the internet is prone to do, about the fact there's the password search feature. So, you know, you go on a Have I Been Pwned, you go to the passwords link, you can put in a password and it will tell you if it's been breached before. And as Scott knows, the way that works is there's an anonymity model behind it. So it hashes the password, it takes the first five characters.
Yeah.
Designed by Cloudflare, works fantastically. And in fact, that anonymity endpoint, that API, is doing about 7 or 8 million requests a day. I checked it again today. So 7 or 8 million requests a day of organizations that actually use this service to try and stop people from using passwords that have been breached in the past. And it works extremely well. And I did explain it very carefully in the blog post, and I linked through to the detail. Your password is never sent to me. And I still had people abusing me by having this page here which allowed this to happen. And I'll sort of say to people, look, if you don't want to enter the password, and I did make the point here that I'm reticent to condition people to doing that, download the hashes, and you can search through the hashes. But then, of course, you get Joe Average popping up going, hey, I just downloaded 22 gigabytes worth of SHA-1 hashes. How do I find my password? So... Yeah.
Well,
now part of what went off the rails then as well is, as I sort of said, look, you know, there's multiple ways of checking your password. You can check it online and it does the hashy anonymity thing. You can download all the hashes. That's going to be a bit of work. If you're using 1Password, as in the password manager 1Password, they have this watchtower feature which integrates and it just goes through your entire keychain, checks every single password, comes back and tells you if it's been exposed. Best possible way to check all your passwords. Now, a lot of people got very upset about that. Again, as
more upset.
I know, more upset. Because I do have a commercial relationship with 1Password. And this is something that began, I think it was about April last year. And that was about, I think, 7 years after I started using 1Password. So I used them for like, you know, a decade and or half a decade or more. Really liked it and eventually said, look, let's put you on Have I Been Pwned so that after people find themselves breached, I can actually give them guidance about what to do. Go and get a password manager, create strong, unique passwords. And really, like, this is the entire takeaway of the whole thing. Regardless of what the breach was or whether it was overhyped or not, get a freaking password manager and stop reusing them. Some people were upset because I didn't go into detail about other password managers. And there are many out there. There's LastPass and Dashlane and KeePass and a whole bunch of others I've probably never even heard of. And I explained originally in the partnership with 1Password, so look, it's very difficult. When someone comes to this site, the average consumer is number one, learning that data breaches are a thing. Number two, learning that their personal information has been exposed. And number three, then trying to figure out what the hell to do about it. And I wanted to be really, really clear about this is exactly the path I would take. I would download this product, I would use it this way. This is what I do myself. I'm endorsing it, not because they're paying me money, but because this is what I've always done and I've always endorsed it. I mean, for anyone who's got any doubts, just go back through the Twitter history over years and years and years before any relationship. And I mean, you know this as well, but it's...
Well, that aside though, it's like we kind of have that shortcoming a lot where we point out, oh, data breach, oh, this thing happened, but it's like, okay, so now what, right? Like, I think we need that step of not just like yelling and waving our arms that this thing went wrong, but like we've got to give some advice with that on how to fix it, otherwise we'll just be here again next week.
But this is exactly the point, because before I had 1Password on there, I basically went, you've been pwned. Go and use strong, unique passwords. Good luck.
Yeah, see you again next week.
You know, and that was it. And that was insufficient. I think it was only like two or three people making genuine comments. What I mean by genuine comments, not just sending spam. I'll talk about spam in a moment. That I ended up binning. But it was because they got really angry and aggressive about that. And it's like, look, here's an idea. If you don't like 1Password, go and use something
else. A different one.
And I have absolutely no problem with that. I mean, really, the macro outcome of this is use a password manager. Here is the one I use. Here are the reasons why. Anyway, I haven't actually read these comments, but one of the things I thought we'd look at while we're here, because it's always kind of fun when you read comments live. Krebs wrote a piece on this article, and a few people pointed me to this. He said, 773 million password mega breaches years old. Spot on. Everything Krebs wrote in this, we read it briefly on the train the other day, is I 100% agree with. It's precisely right. Now, there's 57 comments here. We're not going to read them all, but, you know, someone, the first one here says, thank you for the sanity, Brian. I've been pulling my hair out reading these reports and screaming at my monitor it's not a new breach. The initial report stated that very clearly. So thank you, Andrew Rossetti. But I guess writers figure they'll get more clicks if they sensationalize it. Which I think is probably what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, here's a good one. Let's read this out loud. All caps.
Read it in caps.
Troy Hunter's a fraud. He gets this data for free from a script kiddie, runs it as new, and massive breach to drum up donations and fame. He is now skiing in some Alps. It wasn't the Alps.
It wasn't. No,
it was Norway. Completely different, same continent, granted, different thing. While security teams are scrambling to help their company protect users and executives. Troy dumping the dump and bragging of now on holiday, linked to a tweet. Troy passively asking for donations for his good boy work. Hang on. So this is Con Artist Aware, and then Con Artist Aware spoof comes down. If you look at his tweets, he's asking for donations because ingesting billions of records in a database is expensive. Thank you, this is true. According to Google, that's about, and then there's a price in here for the SQL Server I was running. Troy does many things, of which is offering an entirely free service which notifies countless people when there's another instance of their data being found on the internet. Also, there's nothing wrong with going on vacation, especially when Scott Helm responded by saying they're going to Norway for a conference. Oh, the shit.
Go back to work. No holidays.
And of course, we're doing... They're good-looking Alps, aren't they?
We're only skiing at the weekend.
But why? I don't understand what compels people to go out and write...
Be mad.
Just like, why are you so angry? Particularly when you do this and you make it available for free. And like the whole point here is to try and improve things. Anything else in here which is really crazy?
Just look for the caps. Just...
Yeah, are there any more caps? You can usually tell. Look, the rest of it seems to be fairly reasonable, but there just seems to be it's almost like a subculture sometimes that just wants to get cranky at the fact that, I don't know, the service is popular or that it gets press or...
Maybe they just want to be cranky. Like, maybe, you know...
But, you know, in fairness, to sort of move past that, because I really don't like to dwell on it as well, I honestly don't care that much. Like I read this and I'm more upset at the fact that there are people that stupid that have access to a keyboard. I'm more upset about that than I am about someone being upset about me. I mean, the reality of it is there's always going to be a slice of people that are unhappy with everything that you do. And in fact, I recently wrote that thing about financial tips for technology professionals. And I had so close to 100% positive feedback. There's only one person. But even when there's something which is just massively positively received, there's always going to be an element of people that are pissed off about it. And I'm okay with it. It's okay to be pissed off. I'd rather you be pissed off in silence, but it's not going to change anything. I think that was kind of it. Actually, let me follow up on one other thing. One thing that I didn't realize when this data was first sent to me is that this is collection one. There's also collection two, collection three, collection four, collection five. And then there's all sorts of other collections that are just massive sets of credential stuffing data. I have obtained the other collections. I've got to look at them and figure out what to do. And in all seriousness, like this was a week of pretty solid work trying to process this data and get it loaded. And I'm still doing the last bits of cleanup, shutting down services and things that I can now scale back. Even the figures I had to spin that database up to process taking the subscribers and then matching them to the data set and sending the notifications. I sent, I think, almost 800,000 emails when it first got loaded. I'm still recovering from all that. And my wallet is going to get belted by that, but I did get a lot of donations as well, and they are going to cover the cost, so I appreciate that. But there are these other collections, so I now need to look at those and figure out what to do. We're obviously flat out here. We're flat out all next week. It's going to have to be when I get back to Australia, I think, and I'll deal with it then. So look, let's move past that. If you just tuned in to listen to that bit, thank you very much. And I guess watch out for other collections. Videoland, do you want to... I'll tell you what, let me talk about the tweet. I'm going to relay the original tweet, and then you can talk about what happened, because this is something that sort of smashed both our Twitter timelines whilst we were skiing
like
in the Alps.
4 days as well.
Alps?
Not in the Alps.
Not bitter. All right, so the Hacker News. 4 days ago, so based on our time here in Norway, this was on the 19th, they put out a tweet here. They said, "We all love your media player, but that's really rude, hashtag VLC." VLC, of course, being a very popular media player that I've certainly used many times in the past. "VLC developers refuse to consider software, hashtag software, update over HTTP as a threat." So what's happened here is someone has logged a bug report saying that the VLC update mechanism happens over HTTP, and the HTTP is an insecure transport layer and it presents risks. Nothing too sensational about that so far. Where it went off the rails is that VLC responded, and this is their entire response: "No threat model, no proof, no security bug." And that was it, and they closed the ticket out. And then the Hacker News says, "It wouldn't hurt if you simply consider the suggestion." What happened from there? And in fact, how did we end up involved in it?
We're tagged in the original tweet. So they put a screenshot of the bug report, and then in the image they tagged me, you, Miko, Hacker Fantastic, who's a guy in the UK near me, and Elliot Alderson. So we just got tagged as like people in the screenshot, which meant that we were involved from the original thread, and thus like the avalanche that came after it. So yeah, it just kind of, I feel it just went completely like off the rails in two different directions.
Let's be objective about it. So what's the risk being explained from a technical perspective, and then what's the mitigating factor?
Well, the risk is the downloads are done over HTTP. So you want to either get the original file, or your install is going to go get the update file. It's pulled down over HTTP. And I think it's kind of like a short bug, but it's like, you know, this is not safe because you're pulling down the installer over HTTP or the updated version. So the risk there, I guess, is that something may happen to that in transit. It could be switched, it could be modified. Subsequently, like, we obviously didn't hear this back from VLC in their original comment because it was so small, but they subsequently in the thread say that they sign their updates and the previous version contains the GPG key to verify the signature on whatever it pulls down from the HTTP update site.
Right, so every update effectively has cryptographic verification before it's installed on the machine.
Yeah, so it can verify the signature on the file that it downloads.
Okay, and so their defense was, we don't need it because there's all sorts of technical complexities by implementing it, which, you know, to their credit, they're mirrored extensively. It's globally distributed across, I imagine, all sorts of CDNs and mirrors and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, but we've got GPG validation anyway before the thing's installed. But what about that first download?
Well, this is the problem, right? Like, if you chain it all the way back to the beginning, if the original installer is downloaded over HTTP, then you don't really have any assurance in that one. So then can you have assurance of subsequent validations? So, you know, like, if the first one comes down and it's bad, then everything after that is surely bad as well. And there was only like one other minor thing. And I said in the thread, people can go read, obviously everything's on the public timeline. And I was like, look, you know, like, I appreciate this is often a lot harder than people think it is. They're like, hey, deploy HTTPS. Like, we have some magic switch, and they'll just go into the data center and be like, yeah, HTTPS. It's not. There are complexities for these deployments. So I was like, you know, the only other thing that I could really see, and I was just kind of thinking out loud, was that if you're on like version 1.3 and 1.6 is available, but 1.4 has a vulnerability, like someone could force you to upgrade to only 1.4.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, you know, and I said at the time, again, it's not really a particularly massive thing. I appreciate, especially as I think they're like open source / free project. They have like funding issues and resource issues as well. So, you know, there's a lot of factors in there that people need to recognize beyond HTTPS is not just a toggle switch, right?
So I guess, and first of all, like you chimed in with very neutral, I would say, comments or very understanding comments, and I didn't chime in at all because I was snowboarding in the Alps. but I guess what we wanted to see is we wanted to see technical discussion about pros, cons, good reasons, bad reasons. But what inevitably happened is the thing just turned into an absolute
shit show.
Like there's another way to put it, right?
That's the correct term.
And basically it just, I think Video Land, which is it's at Video Land on Twitter, seemed to keep digging in deeper and deeper and deeper and pushing back against people who were pushing forward. And it was basically escalation. And there's certainly, it wasn't just Video Land, it was other people from the other side making it worse and worse as well. But where I think a lot of it went off the rails originally, and someone, I just favorited one of the tweets in here, someone says, perhaps if you had responded to the ticket and conducted yourself in a more professional manner, you could have avoided this shitstorm. No threat model, no proof is not a reasonable response to an issue in question. Now, like, I get why Videoland would have made that comment. I think the point here is that it was very abrasive, and it led to escalation, and then it just escalated more and more and more over that. So inevitably, there's something to sort of be said there. One of the things that I think upset you and I a bit, and again, we're passively sitting here watching, we're literally on the train, you know, and our Twitters are just ding, 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 is that there seemed to be an undercurrent of people who started saying, this is InfoSec Twitter, they're always bad. And I don't know why the generalization. I mean, if they had said, there are some people on here and they're being dicks, and they are in InfoSec, like, I would have got that. But I really dislike the generalization of suddenly saying, this entire industry is bad, because there's a few people in there who've been very abrasive.
Like, I think we should be at a point now with our understanding where you can't just generalize a whole group of people based on one metric, right? Like, that's just not cool in any scenario. You know, you can't just say, like, oh, this whole group of people are just bad.
But
it's just not.
It also seemed to be that like the Videoland account was saying, you know, we've never had anything other than negative interactions with quote unquote InfoSec Twitter. And then they were saying at one point, look, we're now getting DDoSed because of it. And obviously, if that's happening, then that's not cool in any way, shape, or form. I mean, don't go and DDoS people at all, regardless of the reason. So that wasn't cool. But again, it was like the escalation, and suddenly the negativity is being directed back in an entire industry of which you and I are a part, and we're in that thread, and we didn't really like seeing. And I'd also say on that, like, if you're going to get a bunch of people cranky, it's probably InfoSec's not the bunch you want to get cranky. Yeah, we've seen a lot of incidents in the past, and again, people doing highly illegal things, where it's literally been poking the bear, right?
It
and
is.
Then someone...
we're unhackable.
I mean, that's...
It's the same thing, right? It's like, you know, you're going to get the same outcome.
So it's... Look, it's one of those things where obviously it looks like they're going towards HTTPS updates now anyway, which is kind of...
Which is a funny outcome of the thread, right?
Like, which was kind of the original point. And look, sometimes you'll see this and there'll be tensions escalating on both sides, and then everyone will go to sleep and they'll sober up or whatever else it may be. They'll come back the next day and it's all cool. But this went on just for days beyond the I am having a bad day kind of factor. So, look, I guess the outcome of this is good, and I'm almost a little bit inclined to say this is another case where the outcome was good, there's a bloody mess going through it, but the outcome is good, and if at the end of the day we get to the point where we go, okay, well, now this risk, which was the initial download, has been solved, then I guess that's a good outcome. It's just a shame that there had to be so much ego bashing along the way. All right, so look, we've got to wrap up because we're going to get lunch and then we've got to do this again. This week I've got Twilio sponsoring my blog. Twilio picked a very, very good week to sponsor my blog, I must say, because it'll be the biggest week ever, I think. They, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, they now own Authy. I think they bought Authy a few years back now. And I think you use Authy as well, then.
Yep, everything.
So I use Authy for all my things. I use Authy on the watch a lot, actually. So I have all of my 2FA OTPs and everything synced to here. So when I log in, I pull up the watch now, go to Authy. I actually find it easier than phone. So they're sponsoring my blog. Big thanks to those guys. Go and check them out as well. Next week, we'll do this again from London next week.
Yeah, it'll be NDC London, right?
All right, and there'll be another shit show on Twitter before then. So thanks for watching, and I hope this has kind of been useful, particularly if anyone stuck by who would normally not be here. See you later.
See ya.